Well, this morning, Bethany and I are continuing our... You need a microphone, don't you? Where is it? So what he's subtly saying is it's your fault.
Sorry.
Well.
We are continuing our series on worship this morning, and Bethany and I have been working on this week. I was thinking about a story, though, this week. Have you ever used a tool for a manner other than its intended purpose? Anyone ever done that? So this Jeep Wrangler I'm driving is actually my third one. I've been driving Jeep Wranglers since, I believe, since Becky came to me and told me that she was pregnant with Tate. I went, well, it's time to get a family vehicle. So this is actually the third one that I've got. And a couple years ago, I had a buddy in church come to me and say, hey, I've got tires for your Jeep. You just have to come get them. And they were on a they were on an old Jeep that he had. So I showed up, and he wasn't home at the time. And I went, I brought a bottle jack and a, you know, just a little tire iron that you pull out of your, you know, out of the trunk of your car. And I went, I'll get these tires off this Jeep and take them home, put them on my Jeep, and this will be fun. I show up, and what he failed to tell me was that, first of all, that there was a 6-inch lift kit under the Jeep that he had. So my little bottle jack wasn't really up for the challenge. So he wasn't home, so I looked around for his backyard for things that I could, like, prop that bottle jack up on. And he had some garden pavers, you know, the concrete things. So I actually peeled them out of the ground and stacked them and then put that bottle jack on and then pumped the jack up to get it up. And in doing so, I cracked like one or two of them. And then I went to put the, the tire iron on the thing. And these things were rusted solid, right? The lug nuts were so tight, I couldn't move it. So I went to a shed and opened the shed and like, what could I use to get leverage? And I pulled out what I thought was a pipe. Turns out it was a piece of conduit. I put it on there and I bent the pipe right over. And I'm like, crud. Now what am I going to do? I'm like, what else could I use from his garden shed that I could use to get leverage? And I thought, I wonder if I could put that tire iron, the handle of that tire iron, through the handle of a shovel. And then I could, you know, use that to get leverage on it. So I put a little weight on it, and I pulled down on it, and yeah, you know what happened. I broke the handle off a shovel. So this poor guy tries to give me $1,000 worth of tires. I manage up to destroy his landscaping and ruin half the tools in his shed. So you know what it's like to use a tool in a manner other than its intended purpose, sometimes that causes a lot of issues. Well, here's the deal. This morning, as I was thinking about this, you and I were created for worship. In fact, when God created the earth and decided to put mankind on it, his thought process was that he wanted people to have a relationship with and in turn worship him. You and I were actually created to worship. In fact, I heard this really neat quote this week that says, our entire being is fashioned as an instrument of praise. Just as a master violin maker designs an instrument to produce maximum aesthetic results, so God tailor-made our bodies, our souls, and our spirits to work together in consonance to produce pleasing expressions of praise and worship. So I jumped into Scripture, and I went to Isaiah 43 and found these two verses. And it says this, everyone who bears my name and is created is for my glory. I have formed them. Indeed, I have made them. The people I formed for myself will declare my praise. Folks, you and I are made for worship. In fact, I'll go one step further and say every human being on this planet was created to worship. That is our primary goal. Our primary use. That is our intended purpose for our reason for being here. What is the purpose of life? Is to praise the Creator who made us. However, sadly, we know that though we were created for worship, people will worship, but they will not always worship the Creator. Many will worship other human beings. Many will worship created things. And most sadly and most often, most people will worship themselves. And you and I were not created to worship ourselves. We were not created to worship the created thing or even other people. But we are created to worship. In fact, I believe that C.S. Lewis said that the heart is an idol factory, which means if our worship is not directed at the true God of the universe, then it will be directed at idols that we create. And so this morning, as we continue our study this morning, we're talking about worship. And 2 weeks ago, we began by defining worship as posture. We said that the very definition of worship is to bring ourselves low and to bring, ultimately God high. And we talked about what our posture in worship should be. And then, really, when we talk about our posture of worship, that can take a lot of different forms, right? There's a lot of different ways to demonstrate the posture of humility, and that's what we're going to talk about today, that it can happen in prayer, it can happen in God-honoring, making a God-honoring decision, it can happen in our conversations, in our relationships, and it can happen in our church service. And it was so great last week to hear Bethany's heart for how she crafts our worship services to give us the most beautiful opportunity to blend our voices together. But all that to say is, when we talk about this topic of worship in this setting, it'd be very easy to think that we are limiting the word worship to what we just did. And in reality, the truth of the matter is, I came across this quote that I think sums it up best. Let me preface this too again and say that we can worship corporately, but you and I were made to worship individually. And some of us would coin that as private worship. You and I were not created for private worship. We were created for personal worship. But I heard this quote that says our worship is always personal, but it's never private. Now, I've been a pastor for a really long time, and I've heard lots of people say a lot of things to me. Some of those things are like, I don't need to go to a church to worship God. I can do that. It's a personal thing for me. I don't need to go to a church to worship God. That's a private thing for me. Or they say something like, I go to church online, which watching our live stream is a great tool for you if you're sick or if you're out of town or if you can't be here in person. But going to church online is never a supplement for in person and being with God's people in the room. Facebook is a terrible place to go to church every week. Amen? Some would argue Facebook is a terrible place to go ever, but you get what I'm saying. Or I've heard the phrase, going to a church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to a garage makes you a car. I don't know. Or my favorite is, my church is a fishing boat. I worship God on my fishing boat. And Garth Brooks is your pope? You take communion with Doritos and Bush Light? That doesn't make sense to me, right? You can't do church on a fishing boat by yourself. You can appreciate creation and do personal worship there, but that's not a substitute for church, right? There's a deep connection and interdependency this morning, and this is the thesis of what we're trying to say this morning, is there's a deep connection and interdependency between the personal worship that we are created to do throughout the week and the corporate worship that we come together to do as one body, like we did this morning. Because some things are true. First of all, personal worship void of corporate worship. If all you're doing is worshiping personal but don't have the experience of corporate worship, there's some things you're missing. One, you're missing accountability. No one to check up on you. No one to know if you're hurting or if you need to be taken care of. No one to hold you accountable and say, how are you doing? Is there anything I can help you with this week? You lose a diverse perspective about God. You may miss the richness of understanding other people's gratitude or their lament or their other emotions in worship. Without personal worship, void of corporal worship, would leave you without the challenge or rebuke of bad theology or ideas. It's the smaller your circle, the easier it is to get caught up in non-biblical beliefs, okay? I know a handful of people who don't belong to a church right now. They would claim to be religious, but they watch YouTube nonstop. And let me tell you, YouTube is where intelligent thought goes to die, okay? So if your pastor is someone you listen to on YouTube, you got to fix that. That's not how God meant this. You're getting probably not great theology there. So personal worship, void of corporate worship, is isolating. But corporate worship, void of personal worship, if you haven't worshiped at all throughout the week and you just show up on Sunday morning to do it, that's just performative. Okay? You're just showing up for the show. You're participating in something to give other people the impression that you do something, but you haven't spent the whole week worshiping God on your own. So corporate worship, void of personal worship, is empty. It's disingenuous. And I'm afraid sometimes, and we are all in there sometimes, where we come into corporate worship, into church, but our hearts are really far from God. And sometimes, can we admit and be honest, that this is we're going through the motions. And we're singing the songs, and we're putting on our smiley face, and we dressed up for church. But if we're being honest, it's probably not for God. We did that as a show to other people. So corporate worship, void of personal worship, is empty and disingenuous, and it's performative, and it's something you're doing just to show other people. So there's this beautiful intercooperation between the personal worship that we do all week and the corporate worship that we do together as God's body together. So I'm going to ask Bethany to define for us this morning what personal worship is.
Yeah, so if you have your Bible, this is a really awesome verse to kind of highlight. So turn to Romans chapter 12. This is one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture, and it really defines worship as a whole, but when I read this verse, I really see personal worship highlighted in it. So Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2 is what we're going to look at. Verses 1 through 2 say, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercies, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to attest and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." So personal worship is an everyday practice of sacrifice to the Lord. And when I see Romans 12, 1, it says, "Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." Worship is so much more than coming into this room every Sunday. Worship is how are you living your life as a sacrifice to God every single day. And the way in which we do that, and the way in which we offer our body as a living sacrifice, is the response that we get in verse 2. And it says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Personal worship means offering your life in full surrender every day and letting the Lord transform your life, not conforming to the patterns of this world, so that you can live for Christ, so that you can be a sacrifice to Christ. And there's tons of ways that we do that. Examples of personal worship. Music is part of personal worship, but it's not all personal worship. Raise your hand if you listen to Christian radio. Probably a lot of us listen to Christian radio, right? A lot of the songs that I probably bashed last week, maybe you thought I bashed them, they're wonderful personal worship songs. I was not saying they're bad songs. I'm just saying there's difference in a corporate setting, right?
Did you take a little heat for that?
Maybe. Okay. No, I just think they are wonderful songs for personal worship, but there are songs made for corporate worship too, right? And so listening to Christian radio and feeling those songs and feeling the words connect to your personal faith and your testimony, man, that's a beautiful thing. Christian radio, Christian songs, that's a gift from God. I fully believe that.
And that would mean country radio is a curse.
No. I'm not going to go there with you, though. We can fight about that later. Personal worship, though, is checking in on yourself. So here's some questions to ask yourself when you're wondering, okay, how's my personal worship? How's your prayer life, right? Are we praying for the things that we want or for other people? Or in our prayer lives, are we praising God for who he is, for being a good and sovereign and all-knowing God? A lot of the time when we pray, it's really easy to just go, "Dear Lord," and then fill in the blanks with all the stuff that we need to be praying for other people or for ourselves. Where are we praising God in the midst of that, right? It's really, really easy to do. I do it. And I have to check myself a lot because the middle of our prayer, the core, the center of our prayer needs to be praise and thanks to the Lord. It can be even crying out to the Lord. Read the Psalms, Psalm 42, right? There's so many times where we just need to cry out to the Lord, but making sure that the Lord is the center of our prayers and then praying God's will over whatever it is that we're praying for, right? If we pray specific things for what we want, that's great. But what are you going to do when God says no? Are you still going to praise? Are you still going to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice? It's your attitude. It's your prayers. Make sure you're praising God in the midst of those. Check yourself. Devotion. Are you reading scripture every day? God speaks to us through his word. And is the way that you're reading scripture, are you reading it with God in the middle, or are you reading it to open it up and say, okay, Lord, what are you going to teach me about me today? That's really easy to do too, right? It's really easy to read a verse and put ourselves in the middle of it, right? Like, I think about the story of David and Goliath. And for a really long time, when I would read that, I would read that and go, okay, man, I can face my giants just like David did. That's not the story. The story is looking at God and saying, man, God provided for David in a time that he needed it, and God's going to do the same thing for me. God's at the center of every single thing that we read in the Bible. The Bible was not written about us. It was written for us about God. And God gave us that gift, and making sure that we're reading scripture with that in mind changes your perspective on your personal devotion. Calling. How do you do your job? What about students? Are we being kind in class? Are we listening in class? How are you parenting your kids? Are you doing that gospel-centered? What's your attitude towards that? What kind of friend are you, right? Those are all ways that we worship God. The attitude that we have toward all of those things, we're called to be friends. We're called to be parents. We're called to do our jobs. We're called to be students. What's the attitude that we have towards that? And are we thankful for those things? It's really easy to get mixed in the mundane of what life is, right? And not praise God in the midst of the everyday. So in your calling, how are you praising? How are you worshiping? And are you offering that as a living sacrifice to God? Are you saying, even in the mundane of whatever you think your job is or your parenting, are you offering that to God as a living sacrifice in every single way? Because that's a gift. Enjoying God's creation. Raise your hand if you love to hunt or go outside or go for walks or hiking. Do you ever just stop and are in awe of God's creation? It's one of my favorite things to do is go and look at a site. For my boyfriend and I, it's looking at sunsets, right? Like, we love a good sunset. And man, just praising the Lord in the midst of that and going, wow, like, God painted the sky. He did that. And what a cool thing. And praising in the midst of that. And even for me, even when life is hard, looking at a sunset or looking at the mountains or the trees or whatever, and going, God is in the middle of this. And what a cool reminder. So praising God for his creation is a beautiful way to do that. Serving and sharing. How are you getting plugged in the church? This is a little bit of corporate worship, but it feeds into your personal worship. The way that you serve the church, the way that you're plugged into the body, man, that's encouraging. I can't imagine what my faith would be like if I wasn't plugged into the church getting poured into every week. It is super, super awesome getting plugged in and having people uplift you, because the more that you're prayed for and the more that you're encouraged, the better your relationship with the Lord is going to be, because there's a community of people around you supporting you in every single thing that you do, right? You being plugged into the body, serving the body, God loves that. God calls us to do that. And he blesses us when we do that, right? And so worshiping in the way of sacrifice and serving others, that's a huge part of personal worship. And then again, going back to your attitude and your personality. How are you reacting to certain situations when they might be hard? Are we acting in the way that Jesus would act, that the Lord would want us to act? Or are we acting in our humanity a little bit more? Are we responding with anger? I know that that's a hard one for me. It's really, really easy to get frustrated in things when I don't know the whole story. But taking a step back and going, God is in this, and I'm giving it to him. That's worship. And so there's so many ways in your personal life, but it's important to check yourself. And the way that this is something that I try and pray every single day, like, Lord, I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Use me in whatever way. And that has helped me to be able to check myself and to go, whatever the Lord has is the Lord, what the Lord has. Now, I'm not perfect, right? Like, I get that. But this verse for me has been a really awesome mark of just kind of checking myself in all of those areas.
I think there's several reasons why we need to really focus on personal worship and make it part of our week. First of all, it reminds us that God is bigger than our emotions. It's very easy to, in corporate worship, to come in and be caught up in an emotional atmosphere. But how much more beautiful is it to bring the cry of our heart from our week into the room and accurately share with God where our hearts are at? Secondly, it shifts our mindset and it changes our perspective on the world. If we live a life of worship throughout the week, it keeps us in check. It changes our hearts. It focuses us on the things that are important, and it reminds us how good God is to us. It helps us heal through the trauma that we experience during our week if we spend it in praise and worship. So it can really mend our souls. It refreshes our vision of who God is, what He's like, how He interacts with us personally. It gives us the opportunity. Having a personal worship throughout your week gives us the opportunity to listen to the Lord speak to us. It helps us to have that kind of relationship, and use it in your mind as an illustration to compare it to a really close friend or family member. Well, if you refuse to speak to that person except for an hour, a set aside hour of every week, you send them to voicemail unless they call between the hours of 4 and 5 p.m. on every second Saturday, that's not a relationship, that's an appointment. And so having personal worship is how we express an ongoing relationship with the Creator. It instructs our minds, it encourages our hearts, it refreshes our hopes, and satisfies our spiritual hunger. And so, as Bethany said, there's some ways that you can do that throughout your week, through prayer, through starting your day with God, through writing things down that you're intentional or you're thankful for, turning your complaints into praise. You can enjoy God's creation. You can share your life with someone else. You can serve your neighbor. You can serve your church. You can do all these things, shape our personal worship. But here's the important point to make is all that personal worship that we do throughout the week prepares us for corporate worship. Okay, our worship together is rich when we've all walked with Jesus throughout the week. Now, I was thinking about an illustration on this, how when you show up for something and it's really good, it's easy to forget all the all the preparation that went into that. And the best thing I could think of is I got invited to be a part of the pyro team for setting off fireworks for our city. Several years ago in Iowa, and so I was part of the team that put together the fireworks show. And it was very easy to show up at 10 o'clock, put on your bug spray, and watch a really neat fireworks show and go, oh, pretty, pretty. And what you didn't see was the 2 days of us in the dirt at the city dump, okay, ripping the sleeves off of our shirts because we're dying, and those became headbands while we're wiring all these things together, and the fireworks show wouldn't have been awesome without the preparation that went into that. And so, there's thousands of illustrations we could use. So we know what that means. That's what this is supposed to be. This is supposed to be us, the culmination of a week of worship, coming together and declaring with one voice what it is. So, it says our hearts are prepared to receive because we've been waiting for it all week. We come into this room with anticipation, waiting for God to speak to us and do something through us and hear us and respond together. It reminds us that we're not alone, that we're not alone in this fight called life. Coming together and worshiping corporately reminds us that we're here. Look around, we're here. We're one body together. It prepares us to be ready to give and share rather than just spectate. Okay? Sometimes we come into church and we just watch. But when we've coming in with an attitude of worship that we've had all week long, we're ready, really prepared to participate and receive. It allows us to share with others. And then I was thinking of this other illustration that I've been to college a couple times. The first time was right out of high school. I went to Bible college, and there it was like, hey, write down, this is what you believe, write it down as quickly as you can, And so it was just like, I didn't have any experience or really much of an education to participate in that process. But when I went back from my grad work, it was like all of a sudden, all the writing and all the group participation and stuff, I actually had a lot to participate in, and there was a give and take, and we were having these rich dialogues about ministry and life and theology. Why? Because I had a decade of experience in education to be able to pour into that, and it meant so much more for me in that environment than the first time. And that's the difference between whether we've come into corporate worship as someone who has been worshiping all week or somebody who is just showing up for the show. Okay? So that's the big challenge this morning. How's your personal worship? Are you worshiping throughout your week, or are you just showing up for the performance? There's a passage of scripture I just want to look at real quickly as we wrap up. It comes out of Colossians 3, 14 through 17. And the question is, how does corporate worship enhance and complete our personal worship? Why should this experience of us worshiping together in this room on a Sunday morning, how does that complement the personal worship we're going to do all week long? So the passage says, above all, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. So first of all, starts our week with a loving and unifying experience. That this morning we're blending our voices together for that kind of unity. That unity makes a beautiful way to start our week. Anyone sing harmony? You know what I'm talking about? One time a couple years ago, Becky filmed a video of herself. It's on YouTube. You can go watch it. Where she sang a song, but she filmed herself 6-8 different times singing every different part by with yourself. And it made this really beautiful harmony. Has anyone else ever done that? Yeah, just you, babe.
Becky. Yes. I've been there.
But if you know music, you know what harmony is and how the different parts come together to create one beautiful sound. And that's what our worship should be, is because of our love, it creates this unifying experience. He goes on to say in verse 15, "And let the peace of Christ, to which you were also called in one body, rule your hearts." So, you know, our personal worship should receive from corporate worship a real peace-giving experience. There should be a peace that we walk out of here with, right? To start our week with this really peaceful, you know, and after a stressful week, corporate worship should be a peaceful experience. And really, honestly, he says the peace of Christ, which you and I know that the peace of Christ that we, the peace that we have with Christ is because of our forgiveness, because of his graciousness to forgive our sins through his death, blood, and resurrection, right? And so the gospel, coming together to worship together corporately, reminds us of the gospel, to go into our week not only remembering that he has forgiven us of our sins, but that's the same message that we should be sharing with others throughout our week. So the gospel provides this peace-giving experience for us. We're called to worship with one another to remind each other of the gospel and share that peace with each other. Okay? Then he goes on in verse 15, and he says, "You were called in one body, rule your hearts, and be thankful." So our corporate worship should start our week with gratitude, to give us all sorts of ideas and remind us of the things that we should be thankful for. We should be giving our thanks to God together. All right? In verse 16, it says, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell richly among you in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and singing to God with gratitude in your hearts." So the next thing is our worship should be scriptural. Right? We should be being taught God's word here. And that should form our personal worship outside of this room. It, our public worship should be filled with scripture. And for many centuries, people were taught God's word through music. In fact, that repetition of some of the music was meant to remind people gospel truths and help them really memorize it. So it should be scriptural. And it says, "In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another." So it needs to be meaningful, and it means to be challenging. Our worship should be challenging. It should challenge us to maturity in Christ. We should be challenged to grow this morning. We should be challenging each other and encouraging and holding each other accountable to that. And then finally, it says, "And whatever you do in word or deed and everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So finally, our corporate worship should be focused on Christ. Okay, it should be changing our motivation in everything that we do. It should remind us in here that we are here because of Jesus. Now, I don't know what your motivation for getting up and coming to church this morning was, but let me tell you, it should be because we're here to worship Jesus together. And whatever we do leaving this place should be in the name of Jesus Christ. You're not a garbage man or garbage woman. You're a representative and ambassador of Jesus Christ back to your... That's worship. Okay, you're not a lawyer. You're a representative of Jesus Christ to lawyers. Whatever you do, it's in his name. You're not a teacher. You're a representative of Christ to teachers and students. You see what I'm saying? Like, it gives our life this deep, meaningful purpose when we're reminded in corporate worship that everything we need to be doing is in the name of Christ. So that is the beauty that corporate worship adds to our personal worship.
The other thing about corporate worship that's important to remember is that corporate worship is not just coming into this room on Sunday. This is a part of corporate worship. But corporate worship is a call to all believers to practice the presence of God as a community on a regular basis. Are you plugging into Bible studies? Are you pouring into the lives of other people? Are you serving? It's so much more than coming in and out of this room. It's making connections and building relationships. I talked about earlier how when you are plugged into the body, you have other people encouraging you and lifting you up, and that helps out in your personal worship. That's corporate worship. The way that you plug in with others, the way that you get to know your church family, a body of believers, how you pour into others, how others pour into you. It is so much more than coming into this room every Sunday. Just make sure that you remember that.
So that's going to be our segue right now. We're going to go into a time of communion.